And now the moment you've all been waiting for, the last program in the current series of Round the Horn.
All right. As this is the last program in the series, I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge the sources of the material we have used, and especially our old friends, the over 80s nudist leapfrog team, their quarterly satirical magazine, Private Thigh. Especially, of course, with our article on the turnip, its place in nudism. Cigarettes were by Cowlip and Pewter Bland. Mr. Williams was hatted by Thrupp, trousered by Clute, and booted by the Reverend Unseemly Cuckfire for taking advantage of his daughter. Mr. Pertwee's clothes came from the gentleman's misfits, as indeed did Mr. Pertwee. Miss Marsden's foundation garments were kindly supplied by the Steel Company of Wales. And Mr. Hugh Paddock's wardrobe was by the Old Times Furnishing Boutique. Mr. Edwin Braden appears by permission of Rent-A-Wig. All right, Smith. Smith, the podium is yours.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.
Now it can be told, the story that the world has been waiting to hear. Some time ago, many top BBC executives defected to commercial television. These defections were organized by a man who shall be nameless, David Paradine Nameless.
Here, then, is a dramatic reconstruction of those events as we bring you the head of the BBC who came in from the cold.
My name is Ramsden Gnome Fumbler. I'm head of security at the BBC Television Centre, or the Free World, as it's known. My code number is BBC 2, which means I'm licensed to lose money. Well, one night I was on duty at the Great Shepherd's Bush Wall, and suddenly there was a movement in the darkness, and I saw the tiny, almost human figure of Robin Day scaling the wall. I drew my Smith & Wesson tin of baked beans with a silencer attached and fired.
All right, don't shoot. I'm coming down.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to defect over the wall.
Well, it's a good trick if you can do it. Now, why do you want to leave the BBC? Aren't you happy here?
It's not that. But I've been offered things. Material things. A new spotted bow tie. A chair that swivels all the way round. Diamante frames for my glasses.
Well, but who's offered you these things?
The Free Revolutionary Organization for Stealing Talent.
The initials spelt out the name the BBC feared most. The dreaded word, Frost. I called the guards and the unfortunate Robin Day was hustled off to a place where no human being would see him again. Late night lineup. And then I hurried to report to my chief, the controller of programs, Sir Todd Grunge. Oh, excuse me, sir.
What is it, Newman?
I've just caught Robin Day trying to escape.
You brought him back?
Yes, sir.
Fool.
But things are looking serious, sir.
Yes, I know. In the last week, we've lost most of our top men. Humphrey Burton, Frank Muir, Doreen Stevens. We know the men behind it. There are three men in the consortium.
Oh, the way I heard it, it was three old ladies.
Michael Peacock, Aidan Crawley, and David Frost.
Ah.
Here's a photograph of them. This one's Crawley. This one's pretty Crawley, too. And this one's downright creepy. You've done their fiendish work so well, 24 ours is now 24 theirs. We've lost so many of our big names that our top show of the week is the news in Welsh.
But how can I help, sir?
Well, we want you to worm your way into the consortium and bring back Frank Muir. We don't think he wanted to go. We think he was drugged. Judging by his appearances on Call My Bluff.
But won't they notice?
They may. That's why we've got you this dummy.
What is it?
It's an inflatable Frank Muir made of rubber. You blow it up here.
My word, that's ingenious. Good heavens, it's perfect down to the last simulated hair of his rubber moustache.
Yes, well, don't blow it up too much or it looks like Jimmy Edwards. On the other hand, if you don't blow it up enough, it looks like a baggy Jimmy Clitheroe. Your job is to substitute the replica and bring back real Frank Muir, dead or alive, if you can tell the difference.
But how will I get into the Frost setup?
By posing as a refugee from the television center looking for employment. Here is your disguise. Change of clothes, so. Some makeup, so. And just put on this wig. There. Gene Metcalf to the light.
Do you think it'll fool them, sir?
Well, it should do. But one word of warning. Hmm? Keep clear of Cliff Mittlemore.
Sir Todd gave me one of his icy stares. I slid down them and made my way to the Frost headquarters, an enormous limousine parked somewhere in Kensington. I knocked at the door. It was opened by the assistant head of Frost, the sinister Colonel George Postule.
What do you want?
My name is Gene Metcalf. I want to defect to your organization.
You can't come in until you've been vetted.
Oh, the swine. Swine, he'd stoop to that, would he?
Yes. Before you join us, you must be brainwashed. We don't allow anybody in here with dirty minds.
And before I could protest, I was roughly bundled into the 5-minute brainwash, and 15 Pakistanis swarmed all over me with damp chamois.
There, that's all done. Now, would you like your libido waxed? Or antifreeze put in your id?
No, thanks.
Come on, Gene. It's time to meet him.
And the colonel pressed a button in his waistcoat and the flap in his hacking jacket slid back to reveal a secret passage. I followed him down it until we came to the inner sanctum. There, on an enormous gilt throne, sat the man they called David Paradine Nameless.
Hello. Oh, it's super to see you. So you're Gene Metcalf. Oh, super. Welcome to the consortium. Let me show you around my organisation. Just one big happy family. This is only the beginning. One day I shall dominate the world. I shall be known and feared everywhere. I shall have power. Power! I shall take over the universe. But I hope I'll be able to retain my humility. Well, Miss Metcalf, what do you think?
I can no longer keep up my facade. I just felt the elastic go. I am not Gene Metcalf. See, I rip off my wig and I rip off my female attire. So, now do you recognize me?
Twiggy!
No! Not Twiggy, that's just a trick of the light. I am Ramsden Gnome Fumbler of BBC Security, and this lemon meringue pie I'm holding is pointing straight at you. One move and I'll throw it.
Quick, seize him!
I'll come to do your bidding, oh mighty one.
Seize the infidel, odd job.
Yes, master.
Odd job?
Yeah, he works part-time. He's a dumb brute. But loyal.
The huge figure of Cyril Oddjob Bennett lumbered towards me. As he approached, he took off his steel-rimmed bowler hat, then his horn-rimmed glasses, then his corrugated iron comms with serrated edges, and with a cry of...
Gore, that's
He leapt at me and we grappled.
Now, with this hand, I'll grab you here.
No!
And with this hand, I'll grab you back.
No!
And with this hand, I'll... Hold on. How did that hand get there?
Well, it's mine.
Oh, that's a relief. Now, I hold you by the wrist, so. Mm. Then I hold you round the waist, so.
And what happens now?
We don't.
Odd Job Bennett is wearing a decollete garnishing and crushed with diamond Wilkes, which he's sewn on himself. Ramsden Gnome Fumble is wearing a daringly low-cut mohair vest with just a hint of mo at the V. The card has slipped from Gnome Fumbler's back, but not to worry. We've all got their number. And with that, I return you to the plot.
Well, things were going badly for me. Odd Job had me in a grip like a vice.
What?
I said like a vice.
No, thanks. I got one. Have you got him pinioned, Odd Job?
Yes, oh, mighty one.
Then throw him into the awful jaws of the sacred Douglas Smith. Resurrected from Program 3 by popular demand.
Snap, snap.
Thank you, fans. Now a day in the farmyard. Why, it's Nelly the sheep.
All right, we've all heard it. Stop dragging your part out. Goodbye, Gnome Fumbler. Prepare to meet your maker.
No, no. Snap, snap.
Meanwhile, in his office, the television center, grizzled, a lovely Hugh Weldon hears the cries for help on his secret two-way head. He leaps to his feet and, screwing them on, he utters the mystic phrase that changes him from his almost impenetrable disguise as a dynamic TV executive to Super Hugh, guardian of democracy.
Tamrishings kadam!
Well, what is it? Is it a bird? Is it a plane?
No, it is I, Super Hugh. Look here. With a lick in my hat and another in my head. Come to do battle for democracy, freedom, and a black and white minstrel.
Have you come to save me?
No.
Have you come to rescue Frank Muir?
No.
Then why have you come?
Well, I just wondered, Mr. Frost, sir, have you got a job for me?
And I ought to point out that the foregoing was entirely fictitious and bears no relation to the real events. Ah, well, now. And now for our wonderful singing group, the Fraser Hayes Four, without whom the show would be a lot shorter. Here, then, more in sorrow than in tune, are the Fraser Hayes Four.
Mountain from a little hill. Gonna build a mountain, at least I hope I will. Gonna build a mountain, gonna build it high. I don't know how I'm gonna do it, only know I'm gonna try. Gonna build a daydream,
yeah, yeah,
from a little hope,
yeah, yeah.
Gonna push that daydream,
yeah, yeah,
up the mountain slope,
yeah, yeah.
Gonna build a daydream,
yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna see it through,
yeah, yeah.
Gonna build a mountain and a daydream, gonna make a boat come true. Gonna build a heaven,
yeah, yeah,
from a little hell. Gonna build a heaven,
yeah, yeah,
and I know darn well, if I build my mountain with a lot of care and take my daydream up the mountain, heaven will be waiting there. When I build that heaven, as I will someday, and the Lord sends Gabriel for to take me away. One of my young son to take my place,
to take my place. I'll leave a son in my heaven on earth with the Lord's good grace. With my young son to take my place, I'll leave a son in my heaven on earth with the Lord's good grace.
And now the Round the Horn color supplement.
And first a word from Daphne Whitefly.
Epicacuana.
Well, thank you for that word. Thank you, Daphne Whitefly. Now it's time to meet TV Sunday Night personality Seamus Andrews.
Well, hello. All right. Well, now. Well, as it's the last time, I'd like to be the first to say hello to a young lady who can hold her own as far as I'm concerned. Till the cows come home. What's that? Oh, they have. Well, far be it from me, although I can reach it if I stretch. So with that, good night.
And thank you, Seamus Android. Now, every Sunday night I feel that nothing would make me happier than to sit at your feet and set fire to your trousers. Physical culture is inseparable from the sun and the open air, and that probably explains the current craze for nudism. And it's nice to know that these dedicated nudists can find time, even among the hurly-burly of nut cutlets and volleyball, for a little old-fashioned romance.
Luna.
George, you recognized me?
Yes. I never forget a face. How lovely to see you again.
And you, Charles.
How do I look? Do I look different?
You've aged, Charles. And yet, you still got that boyish twinkle.
Funny, our marriage never worked out.
Funny, though, that we never got a divorce.
Oh, perhaps we half knew, half hoped, half thought, half dreamed, half guessed, that somewhere, somehow, sometime, some way
We'd what, Charles?
I'm afraid I've forgotten.
Do you remember when we last met at the nudist's masked ball?
Yes. And we didn't recognize each other until midnight when we took our masks off.
It was a fancy dress ball.
I wore an eye patch and went as Lord Nelson. Yes, I think it was Lord Nelson.
Well, you weren't Lady Hamilton.
And now we meet again. Naked as nature intended us.
Yes. Oh, Charles, how people stare, though.
Oh, let them stare. Haven't they ever seen two nudists before?
No, not like this. Not in the grill room of the Ritz.
And we stay in the open air, which is just as well when you consider that our next guest is Rambling Sid Rumpo.
Hello. Hello, me dearie, oh crying gander, my lummox. Who'll travel my turf?
Any volunteers? Not a sausage. Now, Rambling Sid, what are you going to burst forth with this week?
Why, it is the tale of a young recruit who's been sprindled in love by a tattlesome maid, and so he rushes off to Brighton to join the army. But alas, he fails the medical on account of flat scropers. So he sings after this fashion. My boglers both have lost their bloom. No wordling do I fancy. My artifacts are bended low since parting with my Nancy. I'll seek no more to grunge my hod. My grummets, they do bind me. Oh, how I long to toast my splod with the girl I left behind. Oh, ne'er shall I forget the day we plighted our cord wangles. And how could I forget the way her bosky mooly dangled? But now I'm bent for Brighton camp. and no one here shall find me. Beneath the pier I'll bend my snod to the girl I left behind me, to the girl I left behind me.
Oh, thank you, Rambling Sid. That brought tears to my boxers. And raised goose pimples on my artifacts. Now, I must confess that I, too, have succumbed to the craze for bodybuilding. And so, when I saw an advertisement in my copy of the Medical Cumberbund Exchange and Mart... well, I buy it for the What's Wrong With This Picture competition. Anyway, I saw this advertisement was read, "Do you want bulging biceps and massive lallies? Apply to body boner inventors of the lightning method." And I hurried over to their address in Chelsea straight away. Hello, anybody there?
Oh, hello, I'm Judy, and this is my friend Sandy.
Oh, hello.
Yes, we are your actual physical culturists.
Yes.
Boner bods.
Yes.
Yes. We got cuts for it.
Oh, yes.
Now, go on. I was Mr. Marine Commando Club in 1966.
True.
And Sand was placed in the Mr. Universe Balls Pond Road contest.
Yes,
yes.
Well, you certainly are a remarkable pair of specimens.
Mm, thanks, yes. Take your shirt off, Jewel. Go on, take them off.
What?
Go on, show Mr. Orne your rippling physique.
Oh, no, I don't like
it. Get it off!
Go on!
No time for modesty. It is modesty that lets him down, no, honestly. Don't. He'd be Mr. Universe today, and he was too embarrassed to take his pulley off. Go on, get him off. Go on, take him off.
All right!
There, look, Mr. Orne. Look, bars of that great butch Lou Coddy. Yeah. Now, ripple your muscles, Jewel. Oh. Ripple your muscles. Oh. He does it to music, Mr. Orne.
Oh.
Like that chap on Opportunity Knocks, you know.
Well, put the record player on, then.
All right, put the record player on. Right. Go. Go on, Jewel. That's right, Jewel. Yeah. Wouldn't it go?
All right.
Shake him about. Oh, look at his metatarsals going like the clappers. Oh, look at his triceps going. It's they've got a life of their own, isn't it? Oh, now your lallies, Jewel. Quiver your lallies for the gentleman. Oh, he's got fused on him like a Percheron he has. Now, all together. Fant, have you loser?
There, well, what do you think?
Oh, very impressive.
Yeah, because it didn't come overnight. No, you had to work on it. You had to work hard.
Yeah. I used to be a right puny little homie.
Puny?
Mm.
Puny he was.
Had lallies like a flamingo.
Yeah.
Shoulders, narrow shoulders.
Yes, like a gnome he was. Like a little white gnome. Mm. Yeah, he had to cross his braces, keep his trousers up. White gnome he was.
A pale little eek.
Pale eek, yes.
Lifeless, lifeless riot.
He was a wallflower, Mr. Orne, but now he's a hardy annual.
Yes, thanks to Sand and his method.
Thank you, dear.
Not at all. Credit where credit is due.
Right, so.
He showed me his dynamic tension, and overnight I came the great butch hear me, you thought of now.
Show him your two-handed snatch, Jewel.
Eh?
Mr. Orne.
Yes?
See that barbell over there?
Yeah.
See that barbell? Jewel is going to lift that barbell above his head.
Cool.
Go on.
Just put some resin on my hand.
Put his resin on his hand.
Oh,
go on. Go on. Right.
Right. Here goes.
Yes. Oh, listen to breathing there. Oh, look, he's got it up past his knees. Look at the way he's lifting that barbell. Look.
His eek showing the strain.
Yes. The barbell's over his head.
I can't hold it any longer. Oh, what should I do with it?
Ring it.
Oh, all right.
We always have. Yeah, we always have drinkies about this time.
You rang, Master Jewel?
Yes, Gordon. 3 pints of cream de menthe.
Yes, and put a head on mine.
Yes.
Righto.
That's Gordon, you see. He helps us out. He's sort of masseur. He'll give you a good pummeling, I'll tell
you. As soon as look at you.
He's a rough diamond, Mr. Orme. Okay. Underneath, he's rough diamond, but underneath, I mean, deep down, inside.
It's absolute rubbish.
Well, he's not my friend.
Well.
You brought him here.
Down on his luck.
Down on his luck, was he? Mm.
I'm like that. I can't turn a stranger away.
You say that again. You can't. Yes, and you won't find anyone stranger than Gordon. No, but seriously, he is a certified psychopath.
Don't you mean osteopath?
We know Gordon better than you do. Now, about our course, are you going to enroll?
Well, what actually does it entail?
Well, our 7-day method is a way of life. Of course, you have to give up things.
Well, what things? Well,
smoking, drinking, eating solid food, and pillows.
You'll have to give them all up.
Well, why?
7 days with us, you won't have the strength for them.
And I took the course, and last week I entered for the Mr. South Kensington competition. I was highly commended for my abdomen, I got an honourable mention for my triceps, and I would have won, but I fell down on my metatarsals. Well, that brings us to the end of our series, and there only remains one thing to do, but I'll just have to wait till we're off the air. Meanwhile, here are a few of the characters you've met and who'd like to say goodbye.
It's goodbye, is it, Joan?
Not goodbye, Charles.
Well, au revoir, then.
Not au revoir.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Not auf Wiedersehen.
Well, what the hell is it? We've got to finish somehow.
And this is Seamus Android saying, hello, all right, goodbye.
Qatar, my dearios, and remember, keep your moolies up and smile through your possets. Because I know that one day we'll wordle each other again.
Many, many times. Many, many times.
So this is it, Ted.
Don't cry. Jewel. Now, don't cry. Put yourself together. Be brave. Be brave. Mince tall.
And this is Douglas Smith saying in the voices of the characters I've played in the past weeks, chug chug, moo moo, fut fut, snap snap, splosh.
And to think he gets paid for that. Cheerio.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden on the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman, and the program was produced by John Simmons.